What's up, Dr. Adrian Fiera? Thanks so much for joining us today. How's it going?
I'm great, Sandra. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited to talk to you today, so that makes my day even better.
Same. You always have so much energy and so positive. I love it. I've been seeing you on Twitter lately. I'm like, man, this lady doesn't stop.
Well, I have to admit, like, it's not always perfect, right? But I do have to
As is
work on
life.
it because it's like one of my values to bring good energy. And I know that's actually how I'm at my best. So I appreciate you saying that, but it's not always 100%.
Oh, understandable. It's all good.
Like last night, I was pretty tired.
I'm sure. This has been a challenging time for many people at this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay, we're going to start with a fun fact about you.
Oh, fun fact about me. I'm recently started learning how to skateboard just a little bit more. So I'm originally from Southern California. Younger growing up, yeah, we had skateboards, but never really like went to skate parks. I don't even know if that was a thing back in like the 80s, early 90s when I was growing up. And then eventually in college, I started longboarding. But now at the age of 35, turn 36 now, I'm like, all right, let's get a short board. Like, let's do this thing while my kids are also at the skate park, like riding their bikes and doing their thing as well. So,
Fun.
a new fun fact.
Well, and the cool thing is, like, I know that you're skateboarding because I follow you on Twitter and I see all these, like, fun videos of what you're doing. What's it like being at the skateboard park? Like, you're probably the oldest one.
It's pretty cool, but it's different because I think skating is one of those environments where literally at any age, anyone can do it. I think there was a guy who was older than me, like probably a good like 40, maybe 50, and had full elbow pads and going, doing some things. I'm like, who is this dude? I'm supposed to be the oldest one. You can't come in here and do this. But then there's also like another guy who I think is like mid 20s who has his baby who's probably like 2 years old riding on a skateboard with him. In addition to my son, who's 3 years old, and he's like going down little bumps and stuff. I'm like, yeah, dude, have at it. My daughter's
Nice.
five, they're right there with us. So it's a great experience. And I think just the culture of skateboarding, it's very accepting of like, just come on in. Let's all learn. We can learn at any age and continue to progress. So it's been very encouraging.
Nice. Well, two things I'm thinking about. If I was at the skateboard park, I would have every like possible thing I could have on to protect myself because I'm kind of a klutz like that.
Understandable. I always wear a helmet, and I actually just purchased some wrist guards because I fell a couple of times. I'm like, all right, I'm not nimble as I used to be, so let's make sure I protect these bones a little bit more.
And what I also think about it, so it's a great culture to like fall and get back up and just to learn failure and to really take risks and not play it safe.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of risk going out there, I'll tell you that. But I've learned a lot from young people. I'm sure we may touch on that at some point in here.
Okay, well, let's go. So, what is the high performance mindset to you?
I really think it's an approach, right? It's your approach to trying something new, something different, something challenging. And with that, you have to stay curious. Right? Like, what are the possibilities? How can something be done differently or maybe even better? I think that's a big part of it. And if I think about like companies like Facebook or Twitter, so I remember when Facebook came out and my friend actually talked to me about it. This was back in 2005. I was like, what the hell is Facebook? Like, get away from me with this. But if I was like an investor at that time and I maybe invested like money in Facebook, like, how would this have like changed my world and like what's going on? I was watching the boardroom with Kevin Durant, and he was on an episode with the CEO of Twitter. And the same thing happened. He asked him, like, hey, KD, if I brought Twitter to you to be an investor, like, would you have done it? KD was like, no. But in those moments, it's like curiosity like shuts off. It's like, no, don't want to do it, don't want to hear it. But I wonder, like, if he entertained it a little bit more, like, how would that have changed for him? Right. So I think we're presented with some information or to try something differently or new. And our initial instinct is like, nah, like I'm good. I'm gonna do it my way. But if we're like, okay, let me just listen to it and just have more of that open approach to it, I think it changes. And then like, once you're staying curious, you got to try it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even if you know that you're going to fail, it's okay. Because some of the things we try, we're not going to be perfect all the time, but we have to go try it just to see, like, what's it like and what can we learn from that experience. And if we fail, when we fail, I should probably say, how do we just learn from it and get some advice, maybe get a little bit of feedback, and then go try it again. So going back to skateboarding a little bit in Twitter, so if people check my feed back in mid-March, or maybe even March 8th is when I actually like really committed to it, because I was 35, and then March 9th was my birthday, so I was like 36. So I was like, let me see if I can get some things at 35, and then when I turn 36, all right, let's see what happens in like this next year. but as I'm like going, like all the sports psych techniques that we talk to people about, or like the mindset and your approach, like those are things that I'm thinking about. And I even notice, like, I'm starting to like visualize myself, like as I'm skateboarding while I'm driving. I don't encourage that, but it just like naturally happened, right? Of I'm leaving the skate park, but there's some things I was trying, and I'm like in the car driving. I'm like, oh crap. Like I need to drive, but I can feel like movements and patterns of things that I'm learning at that time. And some of what I was posting is some video of me actually failing and failing a lot and failing hard. It was the whole mindset of be curious, try, fail, learn, grow, get some feedback, and continue to go and repeat. And that's all I've been doing. And if you look at some video from there of March 8th to where we're at April now, completely different.
Right. It's a month later or so.
Completely different. And it's only been a couple of weeks. And maybe I was at the skate park for like an hour a day, if that. So you can see tremendous development just by trying something new and sticking with it, even when you fail, or even if you get hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, I've been banged up a little bit, but that's what happens in sports. It happens in life from a business standpoint or financial standpoint. People may lose some money, but like, okay, I gotta keep going and keep playing.
Yes. Well, and I think for people who are listening, Adrian, I think about like how, you know, even as they're taking in this information about mindset and what you're going to have to say and just the summit in general, how like staying curious is so important, but then like implementing it and trying it and know all these things, but then we don't do them. And then, and then maybe we don't do them because we're nervous about failing. So I appreciate what you said is like, just stay curious, try it, fail. You will fail.
Yeah.
But continue to grow and learn, like the definition of growth mindset, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think that really like speaks to me and like my approach to just like sports psychology or performance psychology as well. Like you got to keep just going and pushing.
Yeah. So what role do you think that mindset plays like during uncertainty and change?
It's huge. It's huge. You can definitely hear how people are approaching this situation. I like how you've said on Twitter a couple of times of we can, and you do a great job of reframing from either. You can say, oh my gosh, I'm stuck at home. This is the worst thing ever. Or it can be the opposite of I'm safe at home. This is great. And all we did was just think about the same situation just a little bit differently. And now that there's more time for people, I think we can just decide what we're going to do with our time just a little bit better, because one of the main things you hear with people who are trying to either start a new habit or try something different, or they have that passion project that they really want to work on, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. I don't have the energy. I don't have the resources. Guess what? You got time now.
Yeah.
You have time. Hopefully you have some energy. But I think that's one of the things that really stops people at times is not having the time.
Mm-hmm. I even posted it at the top of my Twitter, you know, like, let's see if I can remember exactly like, what I said, but I said like, here, I'll just pull it out. Cause I think it's important for people like just to remind themselves, like their language is really important. Right.
Yeah.
And so I said like, instead of stuck at home, can you say safe at home? Or instead of like hardship, can you say opportunity?
Right.
Or, oh, this is terrible or a crisis. How about purpose or focused on a new goal? Or I didn't like the word lockdown, you know, or I don't even really like the word pandemic.
Yeah.
It just creates fear and anxiety, you know?
Yeah.
I am kind of just saying the situation. Because
but that's like, the same thing we tell our athletes on a daily basis. Like, what's your internal voice that you're using all the time? And would you say that same internal voice to a friend or a teammate?
Right.
You probably wouldn't. And most people say no. So why do we do that to ourselves? I think you're spot on.
Yeah. Why do you think right now, Adrian, like it's really important for us to develop good mindset habits? And like, in your opinion, what's a good mindset habit?
Yeah. So because we have time and things have slowed down just a little bit more, I think this is like a great time for either reflection or refining some of the things that you actually do. So when we reflect, we can look back on like how things used to be and maybe some errors or some mishaps that we have had. So now we can kind of, we don't have the distractions or some things that are in our way that can hinder us from actually building some habits. So now we can actually like really fine tune some of those things. So whenever life starts again, obviously life is still going, but when we get back to the working world or sports continue to go, we've already put some things or created some habits for ourselves that we can just seamlessly go back into what we were doing because it's been a part of our genetic, not genetic makeup, but a part of our practice of what we have been doing.
I think that's powerful. And I like what you said about like a time to reflect and refine. That's a great way to think of it, like to reflect, refine what you're doing, maybe your routine or your habits,
right?
Maybe your mindset habits, your relationship habits. That's what I've been really focusing on.
And this is a great time to listen to more podcasts, listen to or read more books or audio books. Is there time for learning right now?
Yes.
We have more time to actually do it when we have a tendency to say like, I can't find the time to do it. So here we are. I think there's so much technology too.
So much technology. I think to myself, like at the end of this, am I going to be happy with how I spent my time? You know, am I going to be grateful like to spend time with my extra time with my family and to, this is a passion project for me, you know, so right. I've never done. So Adrian,
you're doing great.
Yeah. Give us an example of like a top mindset tool that you think is helpful to use to just deal with uncertainty and change.
I've been talking about this concept a little bit with some athletes of having a video game mindset.
Ah, nice.
Right. So okay. For those gamers out there, or for people who may have kids who play games, or even adults who play video games, right? If I think back to my younger days, I don't play that much video games right now, but if I think back when I used to play Super Mario Brothers on Nintendo, right? You get the game and you open out the box, you put it in, you don't really know what's gonna happen. But for somehow, we keep playing the game. I don't know what those little Goomba things are running around, but as I notice, I walk into one and it like eats me and I lose a man. Like, okay, I'm figuring these things out. Those are the bad guys. Let me squash those. What does the mushroom thing do? All right, I eat the mushroom. I get bigger. All right, cool. This is pretty great. Same thing when I get a star. Like I get a star and I just keep running as fast as I can. Anything I touch just obliterates, right? But I really don't know what happens at the end of the game. I'm sure that I probably have to save the princess or do something kind of heroic along the way, but I really don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens in level 6.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't know about these little green tube things that are up there, but I know there's some little things that come out and like want to eat me. But I also know that if there's a couple of them, if I go on the right one, I can warp to another one. You don't know any of that at when you start playing Mario.
Yeah.
So I think about this entire situation. We don't know what's going to happen, but we still have to like go play the game.
Yeah.
And we can't focus so far into the future of, okay, what do I do when I get to the end? Because you're going to miss some steps along the way. And I really talk about this concept a lot more with some of our athletes or just athletes in general who may struggle with anxiety when they worry so much about the future.
Yes.
But while you're worried about the future, you are missing what's happening right in front of you right now.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happens if you're always worried about the past.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I'm in Mario and I get to level 2, maybe level 3, but then I lose all my men in level 3 and I got to start back from the beginning. But as I'm going back through level 1, I'm thinking about all the mistakes I made in like level 3. So I'm probably going to make some more stupid mistakes and then I'm going to lose again. And then what's going to happen? More frustration, more anger. And then I may even like break a controller or two. I may have to reset the game because I don't want it to end like this. But we really just have to slow down a little bit, stay in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and almost take that video game approach of, again, staying curious. So we don't know what's really going to happen, but I'm going to accept the obstacles that come in front of me and I'm going to navigate them as best as I can.
Yeah. Awesome. You'll laugh at this, Adrian, but so my husband and I, we grew up in the same town and we met playing Miss Pac-Man.
Whoa.
Well, that's
actually, awesome.
I don't know if that's how we met, but that's how we like, my first memories of hanging out with him was playing Miss Pac-Man. So okay. I've always wanted a Miss Pac-Man machine.
Whoa.
So he bought us one, I say my kids, for Christmas. And we got it at Christmas time and his buddies were going to come over and help him bring it downstairs, but
right.
nobody was around. So we kept it in our kitchen and it's still in our kitchen.
Nice. It's almost like going to a pizza parlor where you can like eat and then play Pac-Man.
Amazing. He got like the super great deal on it. So message me if you want to know where the great deal is for Miss Pac-Man machine. But the other night I was texting Michelle McElarnon, which we both know. And I just, hey, I'm playing Miss Pac-Man. And she said, be careful for those ghosts because the ghost is the coronavirus. This is your time to master staying in the present and reduce that anxiety and fear.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing.
The video game analogy.
But I think it fits for so many situations. And even if you don't play Mario or you play like Candy Crush, you're still trying to like go far in Candy Crush. Like, I don't even know what happens at the end of Candy Crush. Right? But we're going to find out because we're going to keep playing and we're so addicted. We're going to keep going.
Yeah. Well, and a few things that I wrote down is like, don't be so worried about the future, right? When you're playing, and if you're thinking about the future, you're just distracted from the present. And can you like accept right now, I think, and accept these obstacles that are going to come your way. If it's a red ghost, that's the one that's the fastest on Miss Pac-Man, by the way.
Okay, got you. I'm not a big Pac-Man person, but I got you. Thanks for the explanation.
Okay, so, that's funny that we just talked about that. What do you think gets in the way of people developing a high-performance mindset?
Oh, man. I think there's probably two big ones. Fear is probably one of them.
Yeah.
And then doubt and, like, the what if. So when I think about fear, like, fear makes us scared. We tense up. We don't want to try anything new because I'm like, I'm so scared. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, right? But then also with the doubt aspect, we ask so many questions of what if this is going to happen? What if that happens? And sometimes we fail to say, okay, what if it happens? And then answer the question.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what if it does happen? Then what? I think that's the other piece of the puzzle. So if I think about, there's a time I was at the skate park, right? So again, different age ranges. And I'm trying to drop in on a bowl. So basically, if we like look at my cup here, or maybe I should have had a bowl, but like I'm on the edge with my skateboard and then it's like this and I have to drop in almost at maybe a 45 degree angle or whatever that may be, right? So again, I have small children. I have to think about like, make sure I can provide for them. So there's this 12-year-old kid, probably weighs about 70 pounds, soaking wet with Timberland boots on. But like, he's like, don't be scared. Just do it. Just go. Like, what are you scared of? I look at this kid like, you don't have kids. You don't know about my life insurance policy. But he's like, just go. And I'm like, bro, you have braces. You don't know what life is like out of here. But just his attitude was, why are you so scared? Right? Like, just go. Like, if something happens, if you break something, it happens. Okay, just get back up and keep going. Or go to the hospital, put a cast on it, and then keep going. Right? So eventually, I actually, like, go. The first time was not perfect. Full disclosure, not perfect. But as I continue to go, I think a couple of things happened for me where I learned a little bit of like what type of coaching that I need. And okay. He kept like saying something to me like after each turn. So I think this speaks to like a little bit of coaches and also leaders as well of like, that's not the way I process.
Yeah.
And at one point I tried it and I failed. And then the next time I was like, look, dude, don't say anything to me. Let me see how this goes. Visualize it in my head a little bit. And then right after that one, it was like, okay, do this. It was like, bam, got it. But like, I process differently. I don't need someone like always telling me information. Mm-hmm. Like maybe a couple of tidbits on the beginning, but I like to think through problems on my own. And then I'm going to try it, fail, learn from it, and then go. But then when I need advice or feedback, I'm going to ask for it. And I think sometimes leaders or even coaches can do that of like, you're not getting it. Let me tell you how to do it. You need to do it like this. Do it my way. It's like, they may not need that. You can actually be causing more stress or like more anxiety and making this thing worse. And I think last year, I learned a lot from kids. I'm going to start there. I was at the trampoline park with my two small children. And there was another kid, probably 10, 11, just doing backflip after backflip. I'm like, bro, how do you do a backflip? You know what he said?
You just do it.
You just do it. You just do it. You just tuck your legs and then you just like flip over. I'm like, again, I'm 6'1". I used to say I'm 6'3", but like, bro, you're 4 foot nothing. 60 pounds and just going. I'm like, okay, doesn't work like that for me. And at that stage, like, I don't think I was really ready to actually attempt it because there's so many kids around. Definitely don't want to hurt myself or hurt another kid. But one of the things that I did is we have a gymnastics team.
Yeah.
So, like, I asked one of the coaches, like, teach me how to do a backflip. And they actually, like, taught me how to do a backflip. But put me in a safe environment. I'm doing backflips into the pit, but then also giving me a little bit of coaching and allowing me to figure it out as well. And the first couple, I look like a hot mess. Yeah. I even set up a camera for myself just so I can get the video feedback.
Cool.
And then after like doing a couple, this is like money for me. One of the athletes comes over and they're like, so, how's it going? I'm like, it's all right. It's going. I'm trying to figure it out. Yeah. So then they're like, all right, so what are you learning? Okay, well, I'm learning I need to like get my knees up and actually explode and throw my hands back and everything that they've been teaching me. Next question was, okay, so what's your plan? All right, so my plan is I'm kind of tired. I'm going to go get some Gatorade. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to review this video, and then I'm going to come back. Okay, that sounds like a good plan. And as I'm leaving, I'm like, wait a minute. Is this what I sound like to you guys? Yep. So I'm like, okay, at least you're learning something. I'm learning something. All right, let's continue to put these pieces together. So it's been an amazing journey. And that was probably like 4 months ago or something like that.
A couple of things I'm hearing is like this fear, right? Like people can experience a lot of different fear right now. And the fear doesn't allow them to try new things, what you just said, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the reasons why we want to reduce that fear and get in the present. But also cool how you're just like trying new things, you know, like, so when you went back to the trampoline park, how'd it go?
Have not been back there yet. But when I get there, I know I can try some things. So I'm good. And I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable, more confident. So I'll even take that, right? As opposed to, I can walk in the trampoline park and I feel like, all right, I'm safe here. I'm comfortable here. As opposed to like, oh crap, here I am again. Like, I think those are just two different mindsets. And again, it goes back to that approach of how do you walk into the trampoline park? How do you walk back into work? How do you walk into this new situation of what's happening with the coronavirus? Like, what's your approach to it? Like, you really get to decide.
You get to decide your approach. Okay, so good. So give us a sense of how you have developed your high performance mindset, Adrian.
I want to believe that I'm a lifelong learner. Like, once I feel like I've learned it all or I mastered it all, then no, I'm done. Perfect example with everyone at this time making masks. Like, I've known how to like hand stitch before, but I actually learned how to sew this weekend.
Nice.
Right. And my first mask did not come out great. But again, like, it continuously, like, I got better as I made more and more. I think I'm on masks 5 right now. And the last one was probably the best. And even as I think about like my approach in sports psychology, that's been a journey for me in the past, probably say 6 months, of really just honing in on what do I do? How do I know that it works? And what are the stories or the examples that can connect with that just a little bit more? So that's been time for me to just like sit down, think about some examples. I love doing these podcasts because that's a space and time for me to really like reflect and think about how do I conceptualize what we do. Mm-hmm. And again, like, goes back to times when I'm in the rat race of I have to see so many athletes back to back to back, or I'm going to a game or going to a practice or have a meeting with a coach. It's like, when do I take that time to say, hey, this really works? So this has been a great time for me to either read or just reflect on other things, go see how other people approach. I love listening to your podcast as well, because there's other professionals who may couch something the same. They may say the exact same thing that I say, but they say it a different way. And I know I talked this on another podcast, but Josh Lifrak talked about mental rehearsals in terms of imagery. And I've really started to like adopt that of like, why do I call it imagery as opposed to mental rehearsals? And I really feel like I've narrowed down like why mental rehearsals make more sense for me as opposed to imagery or visualization. So it's really been a good time. It's been a weird time, I'll say that. But
yeah,
selfishly, I get to really like hone in on me and focus on my development, because I'm usually focused on the development of others.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, wherever you're at right now, I think taking this time to think about how can you use this time period to develop yourself in some way. And I know some people have a lot of time. Some people don't have very much time. So share with us a story, Adrian, of a person or a team or a business that demonstrates the power of mindset.
I think there's probably several pro athletes or even business leaders. I think about a lot of the athletes that I work with, specifically because I know how there's a stigma around mental health or just asking for help in general. And that can go from a coach asking for more assistance from an assistant coach. That can be a business leader asking for help from maybe a mentor, but also maybe people who they're the leaders of. And when I say our athletes, there's this bridge of they have to cross that threshold of walking into our office. So there's some athletes that I've worked with, and they've told me like, I've waited like 6 months before I've like contacted you. Right. Or I've waited 3 months and like, I finally like did it. And I like made the call. Right. And then when they make the call, there's still that period of, I haven't got to the door yet. So once I get to the door and now I like cross into that threshold, I think that's a huge leap for people. And that can be the same thing for business people as well, of like, I know my business is failing, but I really want to figure this out myself. But I'm going to be so stubborn and I'm just going to figure it out because I know that's how I'm going to do it. And that's worked for me in the past. But at the same time, what if you save yourself some time? some heartache, some money, and all you did was just ask another person who maybe your competitor, like, hey, how are you so successful?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah.
Right? And all I did was ask for help. And also with that, there's this piece of when you commit to like asking for help and then you stick with it a little bit more, there's been some athletes and also soldiers that I work with over time of like, they've sacrificed a little piece of their time, which could be a 45-minute or a 30-minute session or an hour session with me. And they've committed to that. But that also means that they've like given up 30 minutes or 45 minutes of something else. So that's another way I've started to frame goal setting is called like sacrifice and commitment. Like, what are you committing to for either 10 minutes or 45 minutes or however many minutes in the day that's going to help you get better? Mm-hmm. And you may have to sacrifice something. And that's okay. But when you make that sacrifice and you can commit to maybe that 10 minutes or that 20 minutes, you're probably going to get better as those 20 minutes on a daily basis continue to add up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm thinking about like, okay, asking for help and how that's so important. And if it's like, you know, a mental health professional or a athletic coach or a life coach or like, yeah, you know, a sports psychologist. And I think like, how that's so important just to get like an outside perspective. And even, you know, I think especially during this time, asking for help is so important, reaching out to people, like if you live alone, if you need help or you're struggling, like don't just stay home and feel sorry for yourself, like self-pity. And then like, especially this time period, I think people are more willing than to help others. And so, what a great time period to call up your competitor and say, how are you adjusting your business plan? Or an athlete, how are you adjusting to like no spring sports? Because I'm really struggling right now, you know? Mm-hmm.
And there's that vulnerability piece in it as well, where we have to let that guard down just a little bit. But when we do that, we're going to grow that much more.
Yes. Yeah. What's a specific lesson you're learning in this time period?
It goes back to a little bit of what you said of how we're saying certain things. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are probably home right now. For those people who have children or have nieces or nephews, they're probably seeing a lot. So I tend to joke a lot in my house. And originally when everything was happening, we would always remind our kids to wash their hands.
Yeah.
And because like we don't want the coronavirus. So my daughter, who's 5, she told her brother when he came in the house, like, hey, go wash your hands so you don't get the coronavirus. I'm like, wait, you sound like me. Hold on. Right. So she's picking up a lot of what I'm doing right now. So really this whole approach to the situation is a piece of it. And I think another part that happened as well, my wife, she asked me for help with something on how to do something. I'm a big YouTube do-it-yourselfer.
Yeah.
So I asked her, it's like, have you checked YouTube yet? She was like, no. Okay. Go check YouTube and then get back to me. She goes to check YouTube, figured it out. So then my daughter, she notices that I'm sewing and she's like, Dad, can you make a dress for like my baby doll? And I want you to take this piece over here and then attach it with a button. But you're going to have to put like a buttonhole over here. I'm like, baby girl, I don't know how to like do a buttonhole. Dad, just go on YouTube. I'm like, she's right. She's right. So literally 5 minutes later, I'm on YouTube and I know how to sew a buttonhole.
Nice.
But really what she's learning is my approach to like how I figure things out. And it's, I really like go back to like, I want to be a lifelong learner and I'm not going to be stopped just because I don't know how to do something. And I think a lot of people who are successful, who are told they can't do something or you're never going to make it. You hear that from so many athletes. I think Chris Paul even talked about that before. Maybe sometime this week of people said that he was not a great leader or he couldn't do it because of his style of play. And he's adjusted a lot in his style of play in this past year. It's sad to see like this year hasn't played out, but he's talked about that. I had something to prove, so I had to go learn. So I'm glad my daughter's picking up on that of like, there's resources available and we just have to go tap into the resource. So go watch your kids, parents. They're going to teach you a lot of things about how you're actually approaching this situation right now. And I'm glad she's picking up that regardless of what's happening right now, we're not going to stop.
Yes.
We're not going to quit because we won't stop. We got to keep going. So that's been a beautiful thing for me to like learn and actually witness from my 5-year-old right now.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you're still going to go out there and skateboard.
Yeah, I'm in the front yard right now, like doing stuff. Like I can't get to the park. They actually closed it down.
Adrian, I'm so grateful that you spent time with us today. Here's a few things that I'm going to summarize that you talked about that I got from today. I liked your definition of the high performance mindset to stay curious, to try it, fail, but continue to like learn and grow through that. And you talked about like, this is a great time period to like reflect or refine. I thought that was just like a good way to think about approaching the way that we're moving forward and how you could use like the game show or video game analogy,
yeah.
Like just apply what's happening in the world right now and remember that you just need to adjust and adapt. And then two other things, like you get to decide your approach right now and 100%. All the time. And so what is your approach going to be? I think there's a lot of agency in that and a lot of like choice. And then just remember that fear doesn't allow you to try new things. So moving beyond that, just to get into doing instead of just like thinking.
Yeah, 100%.
Adrian, you're a rock star. Thanks so much for being on the summit.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be in your presence.
Thank you.
Awesome. Have a good one.
You too.